I will be reading John chapter 17, verse 22 through 23. The glory that you have given to me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. So the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me.
Thank you, Gabe. Good morning, church. It is great to be here with you this morning to enjoy another beautiful day and a Lord's Day. We'll rejoice and be glad, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Years and years ago, I remember hearing a missionary tell a story about coming back to the States to report to one of his supporting congregations the work that he'd been doing in Canada and in some of the far reaches of Canada. And he's a native of Canada, and so he'd been up there working, and he came back and told stories of lives that had been changed, of people who'd given their lives to Christ, of people who had altered their lifestyles to fit God's plan rather than fit their plan. And these were just wonderful stories of transformation in Christ. People who have given their lives to Christ and totally committed themselves to walking in His way. And it's wonderful. As I was listening to that, it seemed like it was wonderful accounts of these wonderful transformations. Some were bikers, some were addicts. One woman had been selling her body. And so to hear these stories of transformation were just touching. But then as this missionary was telling the story, how he had recounted this to his supporting church, he said the response from some of the church leaders were, "Aren't you converting any good people to Christ?" I hope that breaks your heart. Aren't you converting any good people to Christ? I mean, it's okay for us to have some of these people, but we need the generous givers, and we need the educators, and we need the people that we value more. And the sad part is, evidently that kind of measuring people according to our own yardstick, whatever yardstick we decide to choose, whether it's money or education or purity or whatever you want to measure, but we all seem to have this tendency, at least, to have our own yardstick that we like to measure people by and decide how they measure up according to our yardstick. That's exactly what Paul is dealing with this morning in his letter to the church in Corinth. He's writing to them about the yardsticks that they're using to measure each other. And unfortunately, they're not godly yardsticks. They're not godly measurements. And they're not godly attitudes. And the problem is, that wasn't unique to the church that the missionary was reporting to. And it's not unique to the church in the first century. It just seems to be a part of human nature. It seems to be in each of our blood, the ability at least, to value people or set values on people that don't really match God's values. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul writes to the church in Corinth and calls on them to discard their worldly yardstick and develop God's desire and God's heart for His people. And here's God's design: unity in diversity. We need all people, all kinds of people, to make up the body of Christ. And Paul is adamant about that in the church. And so he comes with some very hard teaching and some very, very challenging teaching to the believers there for them to reevaluate how they value one another. And first of all, God's designed diversity into His church. God designed diversity. God intends for us to be a diverse group of people. We'll read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. It'll be on the screen, but again, love for you to open your Bibles and read along with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous power. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between the spirits. To another, speaking all different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. We'll stop there. So here's the call for the church. Celebrate the diversity among you, because this is by God's design. God has purposely blessed his church with this wide variety of spiritual gifts. And so every member in the church in Corinth in the first century received some spiritual gift. The first part of verse 7 says, "Now to each one of you, the manifestation of the Spirit is given." And these gifts are a reflection of God's grace. Now, that word gifts, it shows up five times in chapter 12, by the way. It shows up in verse 4, verse 9, verse 28, verse 30, verse 31. Gifts is from the Greek charismaton. It's the root of that Greek is where we get our word grace, charisma. And so what Paul's trying to write to the church is, these different gifts aren't an indication of that individual's value. Don't measure them by those gifts, because these gifts are a grace of God. No one deserves those gifts. No one's earned those gifts and talents. And so it's not a matter of how valuable that person is. It's a matter of how graceful God is, how gracious God is in giving those gifts. They're a measure of God's grace, not a measure of a person's worth. Also, verse 5, each of these gifts distributed among the believers in Corinth were unique. Some, verse 5, received gifts of service. Some of your translations, instead of saying service in verse 5, say something like ministries or administration. That comes from the Greek diakono. And if that sounds somewhat familiar, the root of that is diakonos, where we get our word deacon or servant. So here's the idea of waiting tables. The seven that are chosen in Acts chapter 6, they were chosen to be diakonos, to be servants, to be people who use their gifts of service in service to the kingdom. Verse 6 and 10, some members received gifts of working. Some of your translations read something like activities or operations or powers. Energema is the Greek word there, where we get our word energy. So here's the picture. You've got some who are gifts of service, some who are gifts of working, some who are gifts of education. And none of those are a measure of the person's value. They're all an expression of the grace of God. Well, even these gifts all these gifts are of the one God, and they possess a quality of oneness. Verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God. So here's his point. Every good and perfect gift comes from God, James chapter 1. And so he's saying these aren't a measure of how great the receiver is, the gift of knowledge. Someone who... You see on the screen, there's three different passages where it talks about spiritual gifts. We're in 1 Corinthians 12 on the far right. Gift of wisdom. I'm just going to scrap the notes and just go off the cuff here. One of the things that I love about this congregation, there's many things I love, but one of the things I absolutely love about this congregation is how different we are. We have enormous amount of differences in what we enjoy for hobbies, in what we find as far as where we live, how we want to live, education, income, and even within our the way we read some passages of Scripture, the way we understand them, the way we apply them, we're different. And my experience has been, I don't know what your experience has been. I'll just only speak to my experience has been, I'm not accustomed to that. Because most of the churches I've been a part of, if you don't fit in this somewhat wide or narrow pattern, then you're probably not comfortable being here. And so to be a part of a congregation where you have people who are on the, you know, conservative, liberal, on very different phases in that spectrum, and we all come together as one, to me is just thrilling. I love it. It's wonderful. It has changed the way I preach. It's changed the way I teach. It's changed the way I approach my walk with God, just to see the diversity here. And so you take someone who, we don't all agree on how the Spirit works in the New Testament church, in the 21st century church. We don't all read that the same. We don't all understand that the same. But I do think what we do understand is that God continues to work within His congregation and brings people within His congregation to accomplish what He wants them to accomplish. I'm confident with what the passage says here in 1 Corinthians, that everyone here who made themselves a part of this congregation are here, at least at the core, because God led them here. Now, I thought I came here by my own choice, but I'm pretty sure that God had a hand in that. I'm confident that God had a hand in that, and for you too. And so he's brought this pool of gifts and talents so that this church is uniquely prepared and qualified to accomplish exactly what God wants this church to accomplish in this moment, at this time, in this community. And there's some people who have a gift of wisdom. Now, it may not be the kind of miraculous wisdom they had in the first century, but there are people in this church who have an incredible knowledge of Scripture. You start to reference something and they go, oh yeah, that's James 1, or that's Acts 2, or that they know the Scriptures. We have somebody in this congregation who relishes studying and teaching the books of the Bible that the rest of us are scared of. The people who, now you can question whether that's wisdom or not, but there are people who take, give me the toughest stuff, give me the toughest piece of meat to chew on, and I want to chew on that. What a wonderful gift. And then there's gift of that's knowledge. There's gift of wisdom. Wisdom is how to apply that. Have you ever talked with somebody, and there are people in this church that you can talk with, and they have this uncanny ability to take writings that are at least 2,000 years old and go, yeah, that's how that applies here today. That's how that works in this church today. Knowledge, knowing the Bible, wisdom, knowing how to apply it, and we've got gifted people with that in our church. Gift of faith. There are people in this congregation that have been dealt what we might call dealt a bad hand. That's a bad turn of phrase, and I apologize for that. But people who just seem to have a tougher road, and they are walking in faith. And you think to yourself, my goodness, if I'd been thrown that curve, I might be struggling with that. But they are examples of what it looks like to be faithful. There are people who in this congregation who are just gifted. I pardon me. Gifted at finding the value in everybody, in everyone. We could do this all day. The point that Paul's trying to get across to the church is, God's giving you the gifts and talents you need to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish at this moment where you're at, what He's called you to do. Not all churches have the same abilities and talents. Not all the churches have the same work. But they all have the same purpose. And that's where he's coming here in verse 4. Verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. This is the call to unity. We may have different gifts. We may apply them differently. We may look at them differently, but they all come from the same source. Verse 5, there are different kinds of service, but it's the same Lord. Verse 6, there are different kinds of working, but it's the same God. And so you can just imagine that church. There's gifts. There's gifts of service. There's gifts of working. And so you look at the one who has this roll-up-your-sleeves-and-get-dirty job, and that's the gift of serving and service. and this one who's got the gift of knowledge, who's the academic among them, and one of them looks at the other one and says, I don't know that they're of the same value that I am. And Paul says, no, that's not the way to look at it, because they all come from the same source. There's a oneness to the value of the gifts too. Verse 7, each of the believers were given this their own manifestation of the Spirit. Verse 11, but all are working for one and the same Spirit. Different gifts, same purpose. And that same purpose, verse 3, is to proclaim to the world that Jesus is Lord. That means, church, that you and I should rejoice in our God-given diversity. Just this week, this past week, I was working on a slide. It's not in today's slides. It's Wednesday night, so there's an advertisement to come back Wednesday night. I was working on a slide, and you've heard me long enough to know that English is not my first language. Texan is my first language, and I kind of butcher that. And then I get to English, and I really make a mess out of that. And so I was working on a slide, and I try not to put my poor grammar on too much of a public display. But I knew that there was a slide that had that the wording in there was wrong, and I couldn't figure out how to make it work, because there was one word that was talking about singular, but it was a bunch of people in a singular group. But then I couldn't figure out how to make everything else go with it. Do the words go with it singular, or do the words go with it? Are they plural? And I thought, And so I thought, there's somebody in this congregation I can text. So I texted. And what was funny was, not only did they correct the question I had, but they also corrected the rest of the sentence too. So I probably need to slide all of my slides past this person to check, make sure that the grammar's in there correctly. There's somebody there who has the gift of language. Now, I'm not suggesting that they woke up one day and got to speak a foreign language, but I'm suggesting they have a talent in language. And we're blessed by these people in our congregation. And then we have all these wonderful gifts, all these wonderful service. When it talks about gifts of service, I think about the nursing home ministry. That's a service. A precious service to a segment of our population that, to our discredit and to our shame, are often forgotten and dismissed. What a beautiful ministry, our nursing home ministry. Planning Fellowship may not get all the bells and whistles, but Planning Fellowship is a beautiful gift of service. Teaching classes, another gift of service. Preparing communion. I remember realizing one day, far too late, I should have realized it a lot sooner, that the communion doesn't prepare itself, and the lights don't turn themselves on, and the thermostats don't set themselves. I don't know what I thought, but every time I walked in the building, that was done. These are beautiful gifts of service. But evidently there were some in the church in Corinth who were looking at that and going, well, I'm better than that because I have knowledge, or I have wisdom, or I speak in tongues, or I have this gift. And now we continue this gift of working, this energy. It would be the Greek word from that. Maintaining the baptistry. It doesn't maintain itself. Maintaining the baptistry. Mowing the property. Decorating for VBS. VBS, the planning session that's coming up. I think VBS is that weekend that spans the end of June, the 1st of July, and we're going to look at the gospel through Peter's eyes, which just fascinates me. I think there's just tons of opportunities there. But decorating for VBS, some of you are truly gifted. You've seen the artwork around here for VBS. It's still, some of it's in the wall, on the halls. Truly gifted people. Servicing the equipment. It would be easy for us to get our yardsticks out and for somebody to say, well, I've got the PhD, and so my gift of service is better to the church than the one who's got their elbows knee up, elbow high in grease. My gift of teaching is more important than that gift of, preparing communion. And what Paul's writing the church in Corinth is, that is ungodly and wrongheaded. Chunk that yardstick and realize that if you think you have a great gift, it's because you have a great God. Now, the person who's great at language didn't just wake up one morning and become great at language. They had to work at it. the person who's gifted at servicing equipment didn't just wake up one morning and knew how to service equipment. That's how it's different from the first century church. But don't ever think that when you're good at something, it's all you. If you're good at something, praise God. Because God is giving you the gifts and talents to serve in His kingdom. And the call for us is this idea of diversity, being part of God's divine. We're supposed to bring all this diversity together in proclaiming Jesus as Lord. So diversity is part of God's plan for His church. God has also designed interdependence into His church. And I apologize for that fancy word, interdependence. Unity would be a fine word that would go there. Except when I think of unity, I'm not always thinking of depending on each other. I need to work on that. But I put you can put unity if it's, I know it's easier to spell. But interdependence really conveys more of what I think Paul's trying to say than just the simple unity. Let's go back to our letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's pick up where we left off in verse 12. It's a long reading. It's a long reading, so stay with me. The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with the gift of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Let's stop. So, verse 13, there's a common thread that runs through all of the members together. They've all been baptized into one Spirit. They've all been baptized into the one body. And every member of Christ's church has been given the one Spirit to drink. But it takes up all the different members to make up the one complete body. The very essence of Christ's church is diversity. There's no such thing as a monolithic church. No member of the body can be a body, all his or her own. Verse 19, if they were all one part, singular member, where would the body be? Because of that, every member needs a sense of responsibility. There were evidently some members in the church in Corinth that felt inferior. They knew how they were being treated. They knew how they were being looked at. They knew how they were being talked to and talked about. And they bought into the idea that they weren't needed. And so he says, if there's one part that says they don't belong, that doesn't mean they don't belong. Imagine how tragic it would be for any part of the body of Christ, any member of the church, to feel like they're not of value. We don't need you. You're not needed. No matter how important or unimportant any one member thinks they may be, it takes all of the members coming together to accomplish God's will and to be the one body. And it's God who's created that one body. Verse 18, God has arranged all the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wants them to be. Each member needs a sense of responsibility. Also, each member needs a sense of humility. There were some in the congregation who were just arrogant enough to say, I don't need you. And some of their brothers and sisters in Christ were feeling that pinch. But nothing could be further from the truth. Verse 21, I don't need you. Verse 22, Scripture says the weaker parts of the body are indispensable. Indispensable. Cannot do without them. Some of your translations say they're necessary. God's Word says they're the ones we really need. It's a loose translation, but it gets the point across. The ones you don't think you need are the ones you really do need. Why? Because the church is the one body of Christ. God has appointed each member in its place. But the members have to understand and appreciate that. And so the way to exercise gifts is through love. Okay. Unity and diversity. For a long, long time, way too long, I kind of thought unity and diversity meant that I enjoy the people I enjoy and I put up with the ones I don't. Let's be honest. There's some people in our church family that you just get along with so well, they're just natural. You enjoy them, you enjoy spending time with them, you enjoy doing things outside of church with them, you just enjoy seeing them. And there's a whole bunch of folks that you don't know that well, but you like saying hi to them here, you like sitting in class with them, you like sitting in worship with them. But there may be one or two here that just get on your last nerve. Right? And I'd always thought unity and diversity, man, I'm going to put up with those one or two that just get on my last nerve. And I need to repent of that. That's not unity and diversity. Unity and diversity is finding the value, not only in the ones I like, not only in the ones that the value seems obvious to me, but value in that one or two that might get on your last nerve. It's not about putting up with people. It's about finding the value in them and realizing that the body of Christ in this church in this moment wouldn't be the body of Christ without them. And the only way for the body of Christ to be the body of Christ God wants it to be in this church in this moment is for me to find the value in them and to value them appropriately. It's not about tolerating. It's about finding value. And just look at verse 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. When I had that attitude, there's just some you tolerate, I was damaging the church. I was hurting the church's performance. I was inhibiting what God designed the church to do. Still in verse 26, when one part's honored, every part rejoices with it. The picture that God draws for us, the word picture God draws, is this church where everyone finds the value in everyone. And everyone honors everyone for what God has given them in the terms of gifts and talents and service to the kingdom to point to the one true God, that Jesus is Lord. And when we honor everyone, guess what everybody gets to do? Verse 26, everybody gets to rejoice together. And what more profound message is there is for this diverse group of people to come together in honoring one another for the grace God has given them and the gifts and talents they have, lifting up that Jesus is Lord. Talk about an effective church. That's the church we're called to be. So church, let's honor the divine design of the Lord's church. Gabe read it for us. Jesus talking to his disciples, and he's talking about unity, this idea of finding value in everyone. He said, may they be brought to complete unity, togetherness, complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved even as you've loved me. I came across this one time and it stuck with me. He said, the world at its worst needs the church at its best. If you look at the world today and you think we're not moving in the right direction, that means that the church more than ever needs to be moving in the opposite direction. The world at its worst needs the church at its best. And there's no better time in history than for you and me to be the church at its best. To be the church that finds value in every single soul that's here. We're so blessed to have and our hearts ache as our families and individuals leave us, but our hearts rejoice because God's brought new people into our life. The Jack and Marilyn and Russell and Jennifer and Paul and Alice and Haley and all of these wonderful people that God's bringing into our lives. And so while we are going to miss the ones that we've grown to love, we've got new people to grow in love and to find value in and to appreciate and respect and honor so that we can all rejoice, continue to rejoice together and continue to proclaim that Jesus is Lord in complete unity. So much for notes. All right. I hope you've matured in your walk with God a lot quicker than I have, a lot quicker than I am. I hope a long time ago you realized that unity didn't mean just tolerating. But every soul that worships here is a precious gift to God. It's a precious gift from God, whom Christ deemed worthy of dying for, and God deemed necessary for us to accomplish His will in our moment, in this time, in this community. And so we find value in everyone, and we honor them for the gifts and talents God has given them to use in proclaiming Jesus as Lord. We're going to stand in just a minute for an invitation song. That's a formal invitation to you. If we can serve you somehow, why don't you tell us how? If you need to know where to get plugged in, you just want to spend some time exploring what are your gifts and talents and how can you put them to work here. Maybe there's something else God's put on your heart. If we can serve you in any way, won't you tell us how? Let's stand. Let's sing.